Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 7. Book of Acts, chapter 7. Very familiar passage of Scripture. We like to read verses 54 through verse 60. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their coats at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. These verses, of course, record the martyrdom of Stephen, who was a faithful deacon of Jerusalem church, the first church. Leading up to chapter 7, in chapter 6, verses 8 through 15, he is brought before the Sanhedrin. False witnesses are brought to bring false accusations. We see in verse 15 of chapter 6, "And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face, as it had been the face of an angel." So all eyes, coming into chapter 7, all eyes are upon Stephen, that is, those who belong to the Sanhedrin. The high priest then called upon him to answer the charges that had been brought against him. Verse 1, "Then said the high priest, Are these things so?" Stephen at that point preached to them, and what he preached is recorded in verses 2 through verse 53. In that sermon, he recounted the history of Israel. And in so doing, he declared the person of God. He declared God's omniscience and omnipotence. He declared God's grace. He also declared the sins of the fathers, of their fathers. And then, beginning with verse 51, he declared their sinful character, disposition, and acts. He refers to them as uncircumcised or stiff-necked, that is, haughty and stubborn, uncircumcised in heart. Circumcision, of course, was a sign of being a Jew. It was also an acknowledgement of the authority of the laws of Moses. It was in submission to the laws of Moses. They were uncircumcised in heart. That is, they did not acknowledge the authority of the law, nor did they acknowledge the authority of God. And they were not, of course, submissive to such. It also says that they were uncircumcised in their ears. That is, they were unwilling to hear what God had to say. He went on to say, there in verse 51, "Ye do always," that is, this is your practice, this is what you continually do in your lives, "ye do always resist," that is, withstand, oppose, fight against, and refuse the Holy Ghost. And then he goes on to say, "as your fathers did, so do ye." Again, reminding them of the sins of their relatives. In verse 52, he went on to recount how that their relatives, of course, persecuted and killed the preachers that God sent to them to declare the coming of Christ. And then he said, concerning them, to whom, that is Christ, ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. Your fathers killed the preachers that preached of a coming Messiah. And when the Messiah came, you betrayed him and you killed him. We see the effect that this had upon their hearts is recorded in verse 54. They were cut to the heart. What that means is they were in anguish, not in a way that would lead to repentance, but they were in anguish and they were in pain. This caused them great uneasiness. And it says they gnashed on him with their teeth. Not literally, of course. What that means is that they were enraged with what Stephen had said. They were filled with fury. They were filled with indignation against him. Notice what it says there in verse 57. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. From here, of course, they proceeded to murder Stephen. What we want to notice in this message is what Stephen did, what is said of Stephen in verse 55 and 56. Again, let's read those two verses. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly in heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. I want to speak on the domination of the Holy Spirit. The domination of the Holy Spirit. Notice, first of all, in verse 55, that there, of course, goes without saying, but there, of course, is a radical difference between Stephen and this multitude of people that have come upon him. We see in verse 55, immediately a contrast is drawn. But he. He's different. Not only different because the Lord saved him, but he's just different. But he. Those who surrounded Stephen that day, they of course were ungodly and wicked men. They refused to acknowledge the authority of God. They were filled with their own ways. They were rebels and enemies against God. They refused to submit to God. They were hardened in their hearts against the Spirit of God. Here were men who absolutely despised the message of God and absolutely despise the people of God. And on this occasion, we see that these individuals are filled with rage. They're filled with malice. They're filled with hate and bitterness. Filled to such a degree that they were under the dominion. Rage was now controlling them. Their malice, their hatred were now controlling them. They had dominated their lives. But he was nothing like those who were surrounding him. There was a marked difference in this man, Stephen. Now notice, the difference is stated. But he, being, it's continual, ongoing, perpetual, full of the Holy Ghost, they were filled with rage. They were filled with hatred. They were under the control of their rage and their hatred. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, he's under the control, he's under the dominion of the Spirit of God. And that statement, but he being full of the Holy Ghost, explains his character. It explains his disposition. And it explains his actions, what is recorded of him here. The instruction given to the church, the Jerusalem church, concerning the choosing of deacons, back in chapter 6, in verse 3, they were told to look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. According to Acts 6 and verse 5, Stephen was one of the seven that was chosen, and we have the list there in Acts 6 verse 5. And note here in Acts 6 verse 5 that it is specifically said of Stephen. Not that it wasn't true of the others, because it was, but it is specifically said of Stephen that he was full of the Holy Ghost. Verse 5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And then it goes on to mention the others. And now we read in verse 55 of our text, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost. That's a contrast. Being filled with the Spirit was the norm for Stephen. He being full of the Holy Ghost. This was not just an occasional thing. This was the norm for Stephen. That is what we are commanded to be in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. This Holy Ghost that filled Stephen, according to Romans 1 and verse 4, he is referred to as the Spirit of holiness. You cannot be filled with the Holy Ghost and not be interested in holiness. You cannot be filled with the Holy Ghost and not be holy, because he is the Spirit of holiness. Genesis 1 and verse 2, he's referred to as the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. The very Spirit, the very person of God. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 3, he's the Spirit of the living God. 1 Peter 1 verse 11, he is the Spirit of Christ. He was sent, of course, in Christ's name. He points to Christ, and he makes us like Christ. He is called the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead. Romans 8 verse 11. That speaks of his power. Romans 8 verse 2, he's referred to as the Spirit of life. Luke 1 verse 35, he's the power of the highest. We see he's the Spirit of truth in John 14, John 15, John 16. He's the comforter. We see that's brought out in those same chapters there in John. He's the Spirit of adoption. Romans 8 verse 15, that is, he gives us the assurance of adoption. He's the Spirit of promise. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. This Holy Spirit that filled Stephen and that we too are to be full of, He always works. He doesn't lie dormant. He works. He's a fruit producer. He's a subduer of the flesh. He's a worker of spiritual and heavenly things within. He's a reviver. He has convicting and drawing power. He's a teacher. He's a leader. He's a comforter. And He's an enabler. He enables us to do what we ought to do what God commands us to do. So we read here in verse 55, but He, being full of the Holy Spirit, that speaks of permeation. He was full of the Holy Spirit. It also speaks of the fact that He was moved along by God Himself. To be filled with the Spirit of God means that you are moved along by the Spirit of God. You are under the domain. You are under the control of the Spirit of God. It speaks of an overflow. It is the overflow and the empowerment of the very life of Jesus Christ. But He, being full of the Holy Ghost, that means His mind was under the control of the Spirit of God. The enemies of this time, at this time, their mind was under the control of their own rage as they rushed upon Him with one accord. But He's different. His mind is being controlled by the Spirit of God. His judgment is being controlled by the Spirit of God. His understanding has been shaped by the Spirit of God. His reasoning, His outlook, everything about His life has been affected by this Holy Spirit. But He, being full of the Holy Ghost. That means the Spirit of God was not quenched in His life. The Spirit of God was not suppressed in His life. But He, being full of the Holy Ghost. This is the key to what He did. This is the key, and this is very significant. And it explains what happened next. But He, being full of the Holy Ghost. Again, it explains what happened next on Stephen's part, which brings us to the action of Stephen, or what Stephen did on this occasion. Notice what it says there again in verse 55. He looked up, and the reason he did so was he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven. There he is, in the very midst of his enemies, in the very midst of the enemies of God, in the midst of hatred, in the midst of malice, in the very midst of opposition and persecution, in the very midst of a very fierce storm, in the very midst of trouble, in the very midst of difficulty and affliction. And he looked up. That means he looked away from the faces of the enemies of God. He looked up. He looked away from all their hatred and all their malice and all their opposition and persecution. He looked away from the storm. He looked away from the trouble and the difficulty and the affliction. He looked away from the opposition and all the obstacles that were there that day. He looked away from all of their threats. and even looked away from self. Why? Why did Stephen look up? What caused Stephen to look up? He, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into the heavens. You see, it was the governing control of the Spirit of God within him that said, Stephen, look up! And he looked up. It was the governing control of the Spirit of God that caused Stephen to look up. Again, I believe this was normal for Stephen to be filled with the Spirit of God. That is, this was his life. So it was quite normal for Stephen to always be looking up. Because if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, that's what we'll find ourselves doing. Looking up. You know why people are bowed down and can't see anything but the dust? It's because they know nothing about the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will cause you to look up. And that's what happened here. This is why Stephen looked up. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looking up steadfastly into heaven. Oh, for you and I to be so filled with the Spirit of God that it be our natural reaction to whatever happens on this earth to look up. Things were happening all around him. And what was his reaction? As a result of being filled with the Spirit of God, his reaction was he looked up to God. Oh, that would always be our reaction to the happenings in this world. Now notice how he looked up. It wasn't just a glance. It was a lingering look. It says he looked up steadfastly. That is, it's a look that is fixed. He didn't just look up and then look back. He was looking up. He continued to look up. His gaze was fixed upon heaven. It was a very intent look. But also notice that it does not merely say that he looked up to heaven. That's not what it says. It says that he looked up steadfastly into heaven. Big difference. Big difference looking up to heaven and looking into heaven. Looking into heaven, he was able to see what was transpiring in heaven rather than what was transpiring down below. So he looked up steadfastly into heaven. And as he looked into heaven, I believe we can safely say that he was absolutely captivated with what he saw. He was absolutely focused upon what he was seeing. His heart and mind were occupied with what he was seeing there in heaven. He was fascinated by it. He was enthralled by it. How do you know that? He looked steadfastly. He kept on looking. He couldn't turn away. This was what he was focused upon. So enthralled that it says he looked up steadfastly into heaven. This is what being filled with the Spirit of God will do. It'll cause you to look in heaven. It'll cause you to look to God. You get some strange looks today from people who are supposed to be saved when you say, just look to God, and they look at you like, what planet are you from? And that's really sad, because I understand that look. You have no idea what we're talking about. And that's sad. That's truly, truly sad. Notice also it was a look of longing. Verse 55, he looked up steadfastly in the heaven. He saw the glory of God. He saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. This is what he saw. And he said in verse 56, behold, I see. Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. You cannot see what Stephen saw and not experience in your heart a longing for what he saw. That also explains why he looked steadfastly, why he just kept his eyes there. Because he was longing for what he was seeing. He was yearning for it. He was craving. He was hungry. He was thirsting. I believe to be there. He was just a stone's throw away from there. And he was now yearning to be home. If more people were filled with the Spirit of God, they would find themselves readily and naturally looking away from the happenings of the world and looking steadfastly in heaven. That's what Spirit-filled people do. They look up. They don't just look up, but they see something. They look into heaven. And as you look into heaven, what happens to a Spirit-filled person? Their heavenly desires increase. And I believe that happened here with Stephen. That brings us to what he saw. We know why he looked up, because he was filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was governing him. The Holy Ghost was controlling him, dominating him, causing him to look up. And we are told what he saw in verse 55. And then in verse 56, as if he's unable to contain his excitement, he declared in the hearing of all. And those he declared it to, they of course weren't interested in hearing it. But he said, behold, I see. Behold, I see. And what he saw, those are two important words. I see. I see. I'm seeing it right now, he says. He saw for himself. This isn't something someone had to tell him about. Being filled with the Holy Ghost, he saw it for himself. And obviously, he saw very clearly. It says, and saw the glory of God. Doesn't say, and saw something as if it were the glory of God. And I saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Didn't see one who might have been Jesus, but he personally saw, and he saw very clearly and very distinctly. What he saw was with certainty. Behold, I see. It's not, behold, I think I see. It's, behold, I see. There was no doubt to what he saw. Now remember, the cause of this is being full of the Holy Ghost. Outside of the Spirit of God, you can look up all day long and you won't see what Stephen saw. It takes the filling of the Spirit of God. So let's look at what he saw. says that he saw the glory of God. It speaks of something that radiates and shines. It speaks of the beauty of God. He's saying, I saw the beauty of God radiating. I saw the excellency and the perfection and the magnificence of God. Stephen, in the very midst of the enemies of God, in the very midst of those that hated God and were filled with malice and were in opposition and were persecuting, Stephen, in the very midst of all this trouble, in the very midst of that which was sinful and wicked and twisted and corrupt and defiled and vile and depraved, he looked up under the prompting of the Holy Spirit. He looked away from the situation. And he found himself steadfastly looking in the heaven. And what did he see? He saw the beauty and the magnificence of the Lord radiating. How do we see the beauty and the magnificence of the Lord? Being filled with the Spirit of God. We can't get away of the cause of all this. He was full of the Spirit of God. Notice also it says that he saw Jesus. But he looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw Jesus. Again, looking away from his situation and turning his eyes toward heaven. He was able to look into heaven. That is, the heavens were open to him. The heavens were unveiled. And he saw Jesus. And he saw him as greater than all. He saw him as superior to all. He saw him as more influential than anything that was happening at that moment on earth. He saw Jesus. And again, may I say, he was fascinated with what he saw. How do you know that? Because he looked up steadfastly. He couldn't turn away. Couldn't turn away. Didn't want to turn away. He was now engrossed with Jesus. He looked steadfastly. Again, remember the cause of this. He being full of the Holy Ghost. We're told some things about what he saw concerning Christ. Twice it is stated that he saw Jesus on the right hand of God. Verse 55 and 56. Verse 55 is what he saw. Verse 56, he's declaring what he's seen. Jesus at the right hand of God. That is expressive of his honor and of his dignity. Jesus at the right hand of God. What does that mean? It means that he has accomplished his work for us. It means that for that which he left heaven's glory, and for which he had taken upon him the form of a servant, that for which he remained on earth for 33 years to do, is now done. Jesus at the right hand of God. What that means is that he has paid the price for our redemption. He has performed the utmost requirements of the law. And he has now accomplished that which the Father gave him to do. In other words, Jesus at the right hand of God declares that he is the conqueror of his foes. And there's Stephen in the very midst of foes. And he looks up steadfastly into heaven. And who does he see? Jesus, the conqueror of all foes. The one who has taken away the power of death, the power of the grave. The one who holds the keys of death and hell. Jesus at the right hand of God means that he is king. It means he's King of Kings. It means that he's Lord of Lords. It means that he's God over all. He is heir of all things, and he has the right of dominion over all his creatures. He is Lord. He is Christ. He is mighty God. This is what it means when it says Christ is at the right hand of God. The writer of Hebrews makes reference to this many, many times. Christ at the right hand of God. In the midst of all the turmoil and confusion, Stephen, by the Spirit of God, is compelled to look up into heaven. And what does he see? He sees Christ. He's alive. He's not only living, but he's reigning. What a sight this was for Stephen. Such a wonderful sight that he looked up steadfastly. Couldn't turn his eyes away. The people who surrounded Stephen, they had said concerning Christ, he's an imposter. He's a fraud. We have done away with him. And Stephen said, behold, I see. He says, no, you haven't. You haven't done away with him. I see him. He's at the right hand of God. And he's exalted above all others. You see, we need to see such today. It needs to be our natural reaction, and it will be if we're filled with the Spirit, that no matter what is happening on earth, our reaction is that we look up. Not just look up, but we look up into the heavens, and we see. We see the beauty of God. And that you live in the realm of the holiness of God, and that'll keep you on your knees repenting. And he also looked up and he saw Jesus at the right hand of God. He saw Jesus as one who was sympathizing with him and caring. Notice, and saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. That's what he saw. He declared it again in verse 56. In verse 56, he said, I see the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Jesus often spoke of himself as the Son of Man. And what it meant was the embodiment of perfect manhood. The embodiment of perfect manhood. When Jesus declared himself to be the Son of Man, he was declaring himself to be perfect in a body of flesh. The embodiment of perfect manhood. And that's what Stephen sees. He sees the body of Christ, the physical body of Christ. And he sees his perfection. The one who walked upon this earth, the one who loved his own to the end, he's now exalted in heaven. He's spoken of again as being at the right hand of God. And other than here, Every other time that it is said that he's at the right hand of God, he's seated. But here it specifically states that he's standing on the right hand of God. That tells me, if he was always seated and now he's standing, he got up. He got up. Now, Stephen's about to be murdered. And I believe Jesus stood up. And I think that speaks of the care of Jesus Christ. There stood the one who died for him, the one who lived for him, the one who is now exalted to the highest place of honor. And he's standing. He's standing as Stephen's caregiver, as his provider, as his defender. Stephen is about to be murdered, and Jesus showed up, or stood up. He's standing to give Stephen assistance. It shows that Stephen was not alone, because there stood the master of the wind, the master of the storm. Again, he's about to be murdered, and Jesus stood up. Why? To receive him. To welcome him. Now you can believe whatever you want to, but I do believe, and I believe I've seen it many times, that many times the dying see Jesus like you and I don't. And they get a smile on their face and then they're gone. And I believe they see exactly what Stephen saw. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven. Oh, that we would be so filled with the Holy Spirit that this would be our reaction to whatever it is that happens all around us. You know, it usually happens. Something bad happens, we think it's bad. A lot of things we think are bad really aren't, and things we think are good are really bad. That's another message. You see, we don't even have enough sense to know the difference between what's bad and what's not, providentially. But what usually happens, something that we consider bad happens, we react wrongly, takes us a few days, maybe a week, and then we finally get around to reacting properly. You know, our lives would be a lot easier if we were filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and as soon as these things happened, we looked up. How much easier would it be? We make life difficult filling it with ourselves. Oh, to be filled with the Spirit of God. So filled with the Spirit of God that we look up. You say, that's not normal. No, it isn't. Who wants to be normal? You want to be normal? You want to be what the world considers normal? That's sad. Because this world's dysfunctional. And that's the norm. But our reaction should be to look up. And not just to look up, but to look into heaven and see the glory of God. You see, I don't have to know why something's happening if I can see the glory of God. I don't have to know why it's happening if I can see Jesus at the right hand of God. That'll be enough. Oh, that we would be so filled with the Spirit that this would be our experience in the midst of all the happenings of the world. And no doubt, what Stephen saw that day filled him with great courage. Filled him with great peace. Notice what he was doing, and we'll close, and in the position that he was in when they stoned him. verse 59. And they stoned Stephen. And what was he doing? He was calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, the very one he sees, receive my spirit. Who's he focused on? Is he trying to duck the rocks? No. He's focused upon Christ. They didn't throw him down the ground. He kneeled down. And he called upon the Lord. Oh, to be so filled with the Spirit of God that no matter what happens, we fall to our knees and we pray. And it goes on to say he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. You know, people talk all the time, and I don't know why we do, because we don't have any control over it, but people talk all the time about how they might die and how they hope they die. Well, you can hope all you want to. You don't have any control over it. But I'm here to tell you there's no better way to die than how Stephen died. Calling upon God, rock hits him in the head, and boom, falls asleep. But before he did, he was in communion with the Lord. There's no better way for a child of God to leave this earth than to be talking to God and to be seeing him. What a way to go. And Stephen is such a wonderful example to you and I, but he's, most of all, it teaches us the importance of being filled with the Spirit of God. Because that's how you live that life. You say, oh, I would love to live that kind of life. Need to be filled with the Spirit of God. You can't live that way without the Spirit of God. You need to be filled with the Spirit of God. In order to be filled, we have to be emptied. We have to be emptied of all the nonsense. We have to be emptied of all the garbage. You know what's happening today amongst God's people? They pick up a little more garbage every day. They pick up just a little more every single day. And every Sunday they bring that much more garbage into the house of God. Oh, I sure wish we could worship like we used to. Get rid of the garbage. Quit picking it up. Quit hoarding it. God's people are some of the worst hoarders of all time. They hoard the rubbish, plug up the wells, and then wonder, why don't we see God moving? God help us to be filled with the Spirit of God. Brother Tim, if you'd come and lead us in verse of song.